Father in heaven, this morning, Lord, we're so happy to come and worship you. Lord, there might be many reasons why we're here, but one for certain is that we do love you. We ask, Lord, that your presence would be a blessing to us, Lord, as we hope and pray that we are to you. We ask also that you would be with any church members, Lord, that are ailing with health or finances, Lord. We ask for your blessings in these regards. Especially, Lord, I want to ask a blessing on our government. Our country's in a stalemate, and decisions have to be made soon. Bless us. Bless this country, Lord. May we be of a blessing to not just those around us, but throughout the world. Bless our leaders. We ask for your presence, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 27, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. Please stand.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your fast, all banner waves on high, your cross of Christ, your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With voice as full and strong as ocean surging grace, send forth the strength of duty of old, the songs of ancient days. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With all the saints on earth, pour out the strains of joy and bliss to rapture noblest birth. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, song through life's long path, still chanting as we go. Pour on you each by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Praise him. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Please be seated.
Call going out across the land and every nation. A call to those who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A call to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross and rise.
Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a host of foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance
and forgiveness.
Salvation to a dying
Good morning, church. We're going to have a lamb's offering before the children's story, but before we even do that, we wanted to make sure we remember the birthdays of those that are having July birthdays. In particular, there are two people that we wanted to remember today. One is 9, and the other is not 9. The 9-year-old is Megan, and we're excited for her because she just had her birthday. Was it yesterday? Okay, and our other birthday person is Gladys Sulit. So if we can, if you can come up front, and then we'll sing some happy birthday to you. So come on up. And Gladys, are you here today? Come on, come on. Come on. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you, yay, happy birthday. Blessings to you both. So this morning we have an opportunity. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about treasures. And you think of treasures, and that's like a, you know, treasure chest and everything, lots of jewels and gold coins and all those kind of things in it. But treasures are whatever are important to us. And I think God knows what's on our heart, and he doesn't want us to store up those treasures here because, you know, eternity is where we're going to really enjoy those things that are important to us. And my feeling is that our children are treasures in this church. And so if you can dig into your wallets and purses this morning and find a few coins or dollar bills or fives or tens or whatever you might have spare in there, we'd love for the kids to come and be able to pick that offering up right now. Boys and girls, if you can, it's time for Lamb's offering. Go ahead and see what you can find out there.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Chloe. Hi, Michelle, Lindsay, thank you.
Here you go, buddy, thank you. Oh.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Travis, thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Andre.
Okay, boys and girls, after you collect all those dollars, wow, we're getting full already. Come on up and we'll have a story for everybody.
Thank you.
So this morning you can tell I look a little different than I usually do when I tell stories, and that's because our story today is about a little girl named Amy, and I chose this story because my sister's name is Amy, but also because it's a very special story about how courageous she was. And Amy lived in a city in Indiana called Fort Wayne, and she was 9 years old, and she had had a good start to her school year. She loved being in school, but the only thing about it was that it seemed like once a few days went by and the kids in the school got used to seeing her, especially the ones that were like in fifth and sixth grade for some reason, they were always teasing her. So the story is taking place about the holiday time. So even though we're in summer now, this story about Amy is right before Christmas. And so she came home from school one day and she was sitting at the dinner table, and her mom saw her, and she looked to be kind of just sad and not her normal happy self. And so her mom told her when she saw that she was not feeling so good that she had read in the newspaper that the local radio station was going to offer a chance for anybody who wanted to write a letter to Santa for a Christmas wish, that she could do that, and she thought that might be a neat thing for Amy to do. Has anybody ever written a letter to Santa to get something for Christmas? Yeah, I did when I was a little too Gracie. So, anyways, Amy wrote this letter, and it was very special, and actually I'm going to have Megan come out, and not because it's her birthday, but because I thought she would be great to read this story, or help me tell the story, and this is the letter that Amy wrote.
Dear Santa Claus, my name is Amy. I am 9 years old. I have a problem at school. Can you help me, Santa? Kids laugh at me because of the way I walk and run and talk. I have cerebral palsy. I just want one day where no one laughs at me or makes fun of me. Love, Amy.
Thank you, Megan. So Amy had this very tough disease that affected her muscles that made her walk kind of funny, and sometimes her words didn't come out perfectly. It got slurred a little bit because of cerebral palsy. So she wrote this letter, and the manager at the radio station, they got thousands of letters that came in from all the kids in the city that wanted to get something from Santa. But this particular letter, this radio manager, when he saw what Amy had written, he said, "We need to tell somebody about this." And so they did an article in the newspaper and had Amy's picture, and they took a picture of the letter and printed it in the newspaper, and all of the wire services across the whole country, all the newspapers picked up this story and found out about Amy's wish from Santa. And so as Christmas time came, they got over 2,000 letters at Amy's house from people supporting her and telling her, "Don't worry, we don't want kids like you to have to be teased anymore." And actually the mayor of the city of Fort Wayne made on December 21st an Amy Jo Hagedorn was her name. That was a day set aside just for her in her honor. And he said that everybody wants and deserves to be treated with respect, dignity, and warmth. And you know, boys and girls, there's lots of ways as Christians we can serve others. But one important way is just being kind. No matter what somebody looks like, or if they have a cane or sit in a wheelchair or have something that they're disabled with, we can still always look out to try and be helpful to those kind of people especially. We wouldn't want to be teased all the time, would we? So we want to treat others the way we want to be treated. So when you think about Amy and the letter that she wrote to Santa, and she didn't wish for a dolly or a bike or money or anything like that. She wished that she wouldn't be teased anymore. So let's be careful about the words we choose as we think about going back to school in the new year, because there might be somebody at school that might have something like this. Let's pray, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you this morning that we can learn more about you and that we can understand that even though someone might look different or talk different or walk different, that they want to be treated kindly and with warmth and respect in the way we would want to be treated. That's how we should treat them. Help us to remember those things. Forgive us, we pray, and thanks for loving us and being with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go back to your seat. Thank you.
Good morning. Today's offering is for the Union Conference. Did you know or heard in the news yesterday about Steve Jobs, what he said about his Apple company, that it in fact has more money than the U.S. government? Did you hear that? Right now. The money should never be considered as an end in itself. It's only a convenient medium of exchange by which a person can hold a portion of his time and talent in suspension for storage, use, and distribution at another time. A Christian steward will regard it as God regards it, a medium by which he can more efficiently serve God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I'm not singling out Steve Jobs, but did you know that there's no deficiency of dollars or money in America? No deficiency. That money is still around. In fact, they're making more and more. But we see less and less. I'm sure you agree with me. So that money's still there. And where it is, the only place it can be is storing up for earthly desire, earthly things. If we would depend on the Lord, give to him as our offering we choose to give, we will be blessed. God promises that. So we can store our earthly life in heaven through our gifts of money, which is our stored time and talent. Today we give our life for the needs of our union. Shall the ushers still stand, please, and shall we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, for guiding us here today to worship you, to gain a blessing, to give a blessing. Thank you for the talents. Thank you for the monies that you've loaned to us. Please be with us and bless us as we give back what you've given to us, and that we can feel that we're part of the whole process of finishing your work on earth. Amen.
Thank you. It's that time in worship to turn even more seriously to the purpose and the theme of our worship this morning. Our Sabbath school lessons have been about worship. So why do we do what we do? And all through this service, our hearts and minds have been drawn and presented with the thoughts that we will be eventually hearing from our pastor about serving others. Our song, Rejoice Ye, Ye Pure in Heart. Our mission, serving in the Philippines. The children's story. Our special music that is coming up, which is going to be very special. And our message and theme, good works have their rewards. Now we are to think about what the Bible says and ask God to draw near. Why? Because there's so many other things that are on our mind right at this moment, and we need to put them aside and then focus on what the Bible wants us to hear this morning. Our scripture reading is coming from Acts 9, 36 and 37. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And we'll hear the rest of the story a little later. If you can kneel, please kneel at this time. If I do, I won't get back up again. Our dearly Father, we want to come to you this morning. And we want to say to you, please, please draw near to us. Help us to think your thoughts. Help us to realize the importance of the worship that we give to you, and that because we do, you will even bless us with the many things that are on our minds and hearts. There are many, many people that have requests, silent requests, and even ones that are listed in the bulletin. Please be with each one of those. Take those cares out of our lives so that we can listen to you this morning as we think about what we can do to show how much we love you. Be with our pastor as he speaks to us. May we hear what you want us to hear. Give us a good worship just for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
His hand you work, I see. On the wind he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me?
How many of you were, when you were Zach's age, would get up and want to sing a song that awesome? You may have wanted, see, I notice how I phrased that. You may have wanted to. Now you can. Thank you, Zach. Jesus is everything to me. Is he everything to you? What a wonderful song to lead us into this special Sabbath. Because this Sabbath is one where I want to give recognition to the people who really deserve to have recognition for this church and the operation and the functions and the ministries of this church. We all are working under our supreme commander, and that is who? Jesus Christ. He has sent the Holy Spirit to empower you and me to do nothing. Yes or no? Has he empowered us to sit on our hands? Oh no. He has empowered us to take his message out there. Not in the garden, beyond the garden wall. Out there to touch the hearts and lives of men and women of this community. And then the ripple effect takes place. That's the mission of his church. The gospel commission is to go, go, go. And Jesus is wanting you and me to do just that. And this church is doing many ministries. In your bulletin today, there is a list of some of the ministries. That's the problem when you start listing ministries, because you can forget things or overlook things, and you don't do that intentionally, and I certainly haven't done that. But I want you to know that as I was going through it, I discovered there were some things missing, and I would invite you to take the list out. And I'm not going to go through all of them that are there just yet. I'm going to draw your attention to our biblical story here in just a moment. But here's some that are not there that will be on the next list in print. How many of you just pulled this out of your bulletin? How many of you know how it got in your bulletin? Nancy does. She's the one that does it every Friday. And I left that out. How many of you picked up a children's activity bag for your child this morning to bring him in here? That one's missing. How about those of you that have come in on your own, cleaned the kitchen, mopped the floor, rearranged it, cleaned it up, and those kind of ministries just keep rolling and going. Many of you have gardens and orchards of various varieties and kinds, and you're constantly sharing the bounty from those orchards and gardens with church family and or the pantry. That may be tomatoes, that may be corn, it may be whatever, it may be lemons, it may be avocados, it may be oranges. You know, every Tuesday there's a lady that is not a member of this church that comes and leaves two or three boxes of oranges for us to distribute to the pantry. So when those fruits are in season every week, she brings supplies. Then there's those that show up with mulch on their truck and mulch the flower beds or trim some of the shrubbery around the church or come into the garden and plant flowers or do other landscaping and maintenance type things around our church. Then there are those who give big gifts like new freezers. We had a freezer go out in the pantry. And this was back when the pantry fund was on zero. And guess what? A new freezer showed up. And it's been a blessing. So now we have two energy-efficient freezers keeping the bread that we bring each week to supply the families. And there are many, many, many other items and functions and activities that go on that you all do for this church. And we want you to know You know, when something breaks down, it's not uncommon for somebody to come and fix it. Somebody will come in during the week and replace light bulbs. You know, we have an incredible team of people here. And I am so appreciative. Will and I both. You know, it's amazing. And many of those that come and do these things are not the grown-ups, they're the ones growing up. And that is so cool. What an example and what a witness for this church. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer as we get ready to open God's word this morning. Gracious, loving Jesus, we need your power here with us this morning. We plead with you to send the early and the latter rain right here amidst us as we're gathered here this Sabbath morning. May you anoint us through a very spiritual and wonderful endowment of the Spirit this morning. May you be seen and heard, and you only, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and open it up to Acts chapter 9. I think the best thing to do is just read through the story of a lady by the name of Dorcas. We know her as Dorcas. Now, how many of you, dear Adventist people here, remember what the outreach ministry of our church originally was called? Dorcas, after this story. Some of us have forgotten. Now it's community services, and here we call it the pantry. But Dorcas was the inspiration, and I don't think she ever intended for her story to go this far, but God had plans for Dorcas, as we will see. Well, let's start with verse 6. So we're reviewing verse 36 and 37. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple, a certain what? Disciple, important word, named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of what? Good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him, begging him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, knelt down, and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Dorcas. The word Dorcas means gazelle or antelope, and probably a very fitting name for this lady, because she was always running as quickly as possible from one needy person to another, willing to help them. You know, I believe that Dorcas stands out in the Bible as a woman of good works and good and charitable deeds, because she understood that God wanted her to use her talents to help other people. And we find this in verse 36. We're going to get to know this verse really well, where it says, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas, and this woman was full of, the word full there, full of She never ran out of ideas, or she was constantly seeking opportunities to give to the people in need and charitable deeds, which she did. You know, she spends her time doing good works and acts of charity. You can't ask for anything better than that, can you? This church has caught that vision. You are the Dorcases of today. And we thank you for it. And it's being noticed out there in the community. They are aware of what's going on in Camarillo at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, it's interesting because this story covers 7 verses, and that's all you hear about Dorcas. But I believe her story is important because it is said in the period of dynamic growth of the early Christian church. It comes on the heels of one of the most important days in Christendom, and that was the day that the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost. And the tongues of fire descended on the disciples, and 120 gathered there in the upper room. And full of the Holy Spirit, they went out and began to minister to every man, woman, and child that would listen. And the works were phenomenal. After Peter's first evangelistic series, 3,000 were baptized. The Holy Spirit was active, and Dorcas understood that, and she wanted to be a part of that ministry, and was. You see, she had been an admired member of the community, and that's why many people mourned her death and loss. But her name, even today, stands for the charitable use of the needle. How many of you ladies here are so? You know, I have a lady in this church that makes beautiful blankets. And I have the privilege of giving them away to those in need. I encouraged her recently to be the giver herself. And she didn't want to do it at first. But she was blessed for doing it. So I thank her for it. My friends, that's what makes this church so special. Well, Dorcas, too, was a worthy disciple of Jesus, and her life was filled with all of these acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing. She knew who needed sympathy. And she freely ministered to the poor and sorrowful. You know, that's the challenge for us today. And it's going to become more of a challenge, I believe, as the economy begins to really go through some tough times. Some of you sitting here went through the Great Depression. And you remember what it was like then. I have heard stories. My own parents went through that time. It was a hard time. What saved my parents was they were in agriculture. They were raising their own crop. They had their chickens. They had the milk, the eggs. And from that, they could eke out a pretty good living and eat well, supplement that with the garden and other things. But what about us living in cities? We don't have the availability, like my parents did, to be able to grow those gardens, at least not all of us. So that becomes a problem. So what do we as a church family do? We do what they did in the New Testament times. Following the Pentecost, they put their things together, and they took care of one another, opened your homes up to those that were without homes. And that, I can see this church doing just that. When that time comes and that need is there. But Acts of the Apostles, Ellen White talks about Dorcas, and she puts this little one-liner in there that I thought I had to include today. It's found on page 131 of Acts of the Apostles. Here's what she says about Dorcas. Her skillful fingers were more active than her tongue. Ouch. That's for me. Zip it, Dennis. Use your hands. Her active fingers. She was a doer. She embraced people unconditionally. and just went on doing good works. And therefore, her example has inspired women throughout history to take upon themselves the needs of the poor. And that's been happening, and it's happening today. Pop up on the screen for me, Carol, some pantry pictures. I want you to show you a little bit about helping the poor here in our church. And what do you see in these pictures? How many men do you see? Now, this is where we go to Food Share in Oxnard. There are some of the bins of goodies. There's one of our volunteers. That's Janet. Carrots. Cucumbers, I think that's what that is. Yeah. Now, there's one of our men helpers, Mike. We wouldn't do well without Mike. There's another one. Who's that? That's Will, Pastor Will. You know, I let him go. I stay back here and get ready when they come back. He goes and does all the muscle work. Now, there is Dr. and Mrs. Potts Suburban in action, packed. Now, we didn't have the trailer that day, but those are the, we bring back commodities and we bring back veggies and citrus and things of that nature. And this is getting ready for the afternoon delivery where people come in and get to choose. They have are limited on how many of these go per family. And it's just an awesome team to work with. And those are the bags that are ready to hand out to each family group when they come. And those all have to be assembled on a Tuesday morning. And there's the veggies on the shelf. So you get a bag of bread and cereal and other staples, and you get a bag of vegetables each time you come to our pantry. So it takes a lot of work to put all of that together. And when we leave there, usually around 1 o'clock-ish, sometimes later, after having all cleaned up the assembly area there in the hallway of the church. And guess what? We're ready to go home and take a nap. At least I am. But the team is there. And you have some incredible eyes. I'm going to ask all of those that are here that volunteer at the pantry, whether you're there every week or not, if you've ever volunteered just for once or twice, doesn't matter, I would like you to stand. I want to show you off today because I know many of you are here. So please stand. Give these people a hand. Thank you. I tell you what, it is so much fun on a Tuesday to see the enthusiasm of this group. And they've got it down to a science. Now, imagine this. Now, what's not in these pictures is, when we open the doors for Sabbath morning, do you see any of this stuff anywhere? Not on the trailer. What is left for next Tuesday is in the room called the pantry room. You need to come on a Tuesday and see what happens as that room is transformed in to the packaging. And remember the sacks that were lined up with the bread and the staples on it? Those are all in the pantry room. And the shelves with the bagged veggies, that's in the pantry room. And then in the fireside room is where the other items were set up. It's a busy place. Come at between 4 and 6, and you will see the needs that are being met in our community. So, Dorcas was and is an inspiration for us in the ministry that we conduct here in the church. And the good deeds that she went about doing. So, in verse 37, it says she falls ill and dies. And then they had a bright idea. After washing her, verse 38, it says, since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. Now, what disciples would that have been? That would have been the disciples that were there with Dorcas. Wait a minute. Peter's just a few miles away. Let's send for him. And so they send two men that go to Peter. And in verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come back to Joppa now, they took him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was living. Well, why were they weeping? They just sent for Peter. But did they really know that she would be brought back to life? No. But I believe they had an incredible faith. And faith is an important factor in the work that we do, is it not? Writing out a tithe check is an act of faith. Writing out a check for the offering is an act of faith. But you also have recognized that it's not only an act of faith, but more importantly, tithe is giving back to God what he already owns. And God was smiling on this company of believers, and their faith was growing. And so Peter arrives. And he came to the upper room there. He assessed the situation. He had probably even heard about the work of Dorcas. But Peter had learned a valuable lesson about faith and belief and trust and following faithfully Jesus. And so it says here in verse 40, but Peter put them all out. And he did something that we all need to be doing all day, every day, falling on our knees and praying for the Holy Spirit to do its work in our lives. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And God heard and answered his and their prayers. Tabitha sits up. Peter reaches out, takes her by the hand, and pulls her up. She's now standing because she had opened her eyes and was acknowledging what was going on. Then Peter, after lifting her up, called the saints and the widows, and he opened the door and he presented Dorcas to them. And can you imagine the absolute change that took place in that house at that time? Oh, what joy there was! Verse 42, I think, is the key verse to this whole chapter and this story in particular. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And here's why I believe they believed. How's that for? You have the belief factor down now? Many believed on the Lord. I want you to walk with me. We have no indication of immediately what happened. But I think we know enough about Dorcas to know that she didn't just stand around for very long being congratulated on living again. I can see her picking up the clothing that they had showed Peter and saying, I've got to deliver these. There's a person in need. That person may have been there in the room. She may have taken it. This was for you. We don't know exactly, but she was a lady of action. And I can only believe that she left there shortly after that awakening experience and went out and continued to do what she is well known for. And that's meeting the needs of that community. Oh, my friends, what about you? What about us? I invite you, if you're not involved in a ministry in this church, to get involved. The pantry, you know, there are days there. If you took the average age of our pantry team, I don't know where to put it, because I don't know the age of all of those that are helping. But I can safely say that it would be 70 plus. 70 plus. And it may be even higher than that. Heavy on the plus. It's an amazing team. And I'm just a kid in that group. And I'm up there. It's amazing. But the fun part is when our teenagers come and help us. The fun part is when some of you have a day off and you drop by and say, what can I do to help? It is so much appreciated. Well, I want to leave you with this thought and challenge. And it's my end one, Carol. Here's what we want to do. Rather than wishing you had other gifts, have you ever been there? Well, I wish I had that gift and that gift and that gift or that gift. Rather than wishing you had other gifts, make good use of the gifts God has given you. And Jesus will multiply those gifts in marvelous ways. He will bless you in ways you never dreamed possible. He will take you to a level that will just utterly amaze you. And you will be blessed. So as we leave today, may we all aspire to be Dorcases in the sense that we are going out searching for those people in need and giving them the help and assistance they need. May God bless you. Thank you. This is Volunteer Appreciation Sabbath, and so I'm going to ask all of the volunteers that have done any kind of volunteer work at this church to please stand. Don't be shy. Any kind. That includes praying at home for those that you can't go out and touch. So every member should stand on that one. Thank you. The work that you do. Stay standing, because we're now going to go move on to our closing hymn. I invite everyone now to stand, and let's give a praise to Jesus. A praise.
That's hymn number 554. Let me walk with thee. Oh, let me walk with thee. As Enoch walked in days of old, place thou my trembling hand in thine, and sweet communion with me hold. Even though the path I may not see, yet Jesus, let me walk with thee. I cannot, dare not walk alone. The tempest rages in the sky,
A thousand snares beset my feet. A thousand foes are lurking nigh. Still thou the raging of the sea. O Master, let me walk with thee. If I may rest my hand in thine, I'll count the joys of earth but loss, and firmly, bravely journey on. I'll bear the banner of the cross till Zion's glorious gates I see. Yet, Savior, let me walk with thee.
Jesus, this is our prayer as we leave here today. We desire to walk with you. Fill us, Jesus, with the early and the latter rain so that we won't miss a moment of inspiration from you. We won't miss the opportunity to share you. We will go empowered by you to reach out and do the Dorcas work in this community and in our homes. Empower us with your love, your grace, and just bring the fullness of joy into our lives. May the smile on our face be radiant, the glow anointed by heaven, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.